If I'm here next week, there'll be 200 people here. Started off with 3 and then last week it was 10. Now I'm... Anyway, good, how are you? Good to see you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your last 3-week services. I've enjoyed every minute. It's good to get away from my own place and come and relax in a place that knows me and I feel very much at home in. You know, whether you know, you do make me feel home, thank you. You know, saying about hospitality is one of these great words. Hospitality, you know, you try to make people wish they were at home. And sometimes you think they wish they were, you know, you bring them in, you feed them. And anyway, good to see you. Let me bring you greetings from our own fellowship. That didn't go down quite too well as expected. Are we up and running? Yes, we are. Thank you. If you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to look at John chapter 5. I just want to look at this evening at John the Baptist. We know a great deal about him. But I want you to look at John's life and finish up with 3 things that we read about John the Baptist. And as we look at that and we try and associate them to our life and what people said about John the Baptist, could they say that about us because we're followers of Christ Jesus? But I just want to read a couple of verses, if I can, in John chapter 5. And we want to pick up from verse 30, just through to verse 39. It's just a phrase that occurs there that I just want to kind of dwell on with you for a few minutes. Before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you where we can come and set ourselves apart for an hour or so to meet with you, that you might indeed teach us as you prepare us for going back out there to the place we've left as we witness for you. We give you thanks for your word, which is the word of truth. And again, Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we might behold something new and something fresh. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And again, Lord, I pray that you might indeed speak to us. As we said last week, I heard the voice of Jesus say. So whatever you would tell us this evening, I pray that we would apply it to our own lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 5. This is Jesus talking. We want to pick up from verse 30. We just kind of go into one conversation and then goes on to something else. But it's verse 30. This is what Jesus says. He says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Amen, and may God add his richest blessing to this, the reading of his word. Some of that's not all that easy to understand, but I'm not going to go through the whole passage. I just want to dwell with one or two things. In Jesus' life, there were many people came and testified about him or things. And then when you get into John chapter 5, John the Baptist testifies about Jesus. The works that Jesus did testifies about Jesus. His Father testifies who Jesus is. And later on, we're going to talk about the Word. And further on in John chapter 5, the Holy Spirit testifies. So all these things. But this evening, I just want to look, if I can, at John the Baptist. And just the phrase that comes up here, that's him there. Good, isn't it? Hey. Guess he's close out of John Lewis. But there you go. John the Baptist, depending on your version, John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. And these are the words spoken about John the Baptist. And these were the words that Jesus said about John the Baptist. So when we're going through this evening, I just might put a full stop and then we ask a question. What do you think Jesus would say about you to people outside? And Jesus said about his cousin that he was a burning and a shining light. It was a description that fitted John the Baptist because his life was on fire for God. And because of that, this light or this lamp that was within was burning and shining. Now, it's true to say that John was only a lamp. He wasn't the true light. As a lamp, though, he was a burning and shining light. So when we're involved in the things of the Lord, of God, are we burning and shining for him? And we'll come through that this evening. They tell me there are, in our human personalities, elements which are combustible. That is, elements which under certain circumstances can be set alight. Your heart, for example, Bunkin. Your heart, for example, may be in times inflamed with passion. I'll teach you to sit in the front row. Your mind might be kindled and set on fire by an idea. And sometimes we talk about our eyes are ablaze. In Glasgow, we've got a phrase said, he was billing, you know, these words. Of course, that's not to say all fire is good, because we have strange fire, the fire of lust, the fire of ambition, the fire of revenge, and we're aware of all these things. But the fire that was burning in the life of John the Baptist was not strange, it wasn't odd, it was the holy fire, it was God's fire. And you know the story, because for John the Baptist, this fire, he was filled with the Spirit, even when he was in his mother's womb. He was filled, said the angel Gabriel, to Zacharias, his father, with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So this fire which filled John was the fire of the very presence of God. Now, we spoke about the presence of God last week. And I trust all of you know the presence of God in your own life. The fire which filled John was the fire of the presence of God, the very Holy Spirit. And Jesus felt compelled to tell those who were listening to him that John was a burning and a shining light, a lamp that burned because God was dwelling in him. And this man who was filled with the Holy Ghost, so he was, and John had come to point men, not to himself, but to point men to Christ. He came to point men to another. And he said of Jesus, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we know the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell and all these people were filled. Tongues of fire descended and sat upon all these people who were there. Do we allow the Holy Spirit room in our lives? And do people know who we belong to? Fire. Do you remember the common bush in the desert of Sinai? In itself, it was dry and uninteresting, and there were many bushfires all over the place in that desert at that time. And when Moses came along at first, he thought there was nothing unusual about this bush and fire. As we say, it happened in that area. The sun would scorch and set fire to dry bushes, and there would be times when you would see these bushes burning. But the thing that made Moses turn to look was at this wondrous sight, was the fact that the bush kept on burning. He looked, and he looked, and he looked, and it still continued to burn. He looked again, and it was still burning. He looked again more closely and discovered that the bush was not being consumed. And so he thought to himself, how can this be? What's actually happening here? And he discovered that it wasn't. And here was this bush with a fire that was burning in its heart. And no part of the bush was being burned away. And I think one of the tragedies of many Christians, including pastors, is that they so often do in fact burn themselves out. And I cannot find anywhere in God's word that tells me that should happen. My understanding is that you and I should burn, not out, but burn on. You and I should burn on for the things of God. And here is John the Baptist, and he was shining and burning constantly because he was being filled. And it's not that we should burn out, but be as the bush and burn on. And there should be a fire glowing and burning in the hearts of you and me that the Holy Spirit, as I said, lives in there and dwells in there. And it was said up there, because God was filling that bush, and because God was around that bush, no foreign influences could touch it. And when you're allowing the Holy Spirit freedom in your life, although some bad things happen, God Himself will protect and guard you. And you and I have to burn on for the things of God. And sure, that's a picture for all of us. God would have us to be filled with Himself. And somebody has said, the consecrated life is filled by God, and it is filled with God. And the Spirit of God is taking possession of the soul. So here is John the Baptist, who was a burning and a shining light. There is a story on Mount Carmel with Elijah. You know the story, I don't want to go through it all with you. Baal's prophets had offered their vain sacrifice to their God. And all through the hours of the day and the sun's heat, they lifted their cries to their God, a God who could not hear, a God who could not answer, a God, in fact, who was no God at all. They cut themselves, they danced, and they sang for many an hour. And if you read the whole story, Elijah was joking with them, telling them to shout louder, because basically he says, maybe your God's away to the loo. When you read all what he says, and then Elijah offered up a simple prayer that God would reveal himself to the people. And then we read that the fire fell. And you know, the fire only fell after the sacrifice was laid upon the altar. And the fire of God does not fall upon an empty altar. So you and I must give ourselves continually on a daily basis to the Lord. So let's look at a couple of things. Oh, I've got plenty of time. What then is the fire that burns? Just three things, and then we'll go into three other things concerning John the Baptist. The first of all is the Spirit of Truth. You cannot have God without truth. And so often for many of us, it's easy to lie. It just runs off the tongue. And that's why Paul, when he's talking in Ephesians in particular, when he's talking about putting on the whole armour of God, he starts off with the belt of truth. Well done. And if you and I can't have truth in our lives, nothing else matters. And you and I, as we're concerned about being filled with the Spirit, I want to suggest to you this evening that you and I must be concerned about the truth. We must be concerned to be from all that is wrong, free from error. And it was Augustine who said, every sin is a lie. And every time we lie, it is an offense against the truth. And every time we lie, we sin and offend God. And you and I should be God's living altar whereupon the fire must blaze, not die out, not even a low peep, so that others may see the glory of God burning and shining in us. And it's the Spirit of Truth who would lead us and guide us into all manner of truth. And I'll come back to that in a wee second. The second thing they say about the fire of God is the Spirit of Holiness. And the battle that was raging when Jesus was here on earth was the battle between the good spirit and the evil spirit. The battle between the clean spirit and the unclean spirit, as it is today for us. And whenever the Spirit of God through the ministry of Jesus came upon a life, what happened? The unclean spirit went out. And whenever the holy fire came down, the strange fire was quenched. And these are things that you all know, and I'm sure you know very well. And lastly on this one, the fire of God is the comforter. And one of the last times I was here, we did a whole evening on this word comforter. The fire that burns in the lives of God's people, the Spirit of truth, who's the Spirit of holiness, but is also the comforter. Fire warms and comforts. I miss coal fires. I don't mean miss cleaning them out, but I miss coal fires, radiators. You know, give me an old coal fire, a big, big long fork and a bit of bread for toast, and that's me quite happy. These days are all going. And I'm sure we're glad. I was going to say there's no cold days, but it's cold at night and it's good just to get in front of the fire or the radiator, whatever it is you do. Because the fire and the heat make us warm. And when you and I are walking in the Spirit of God, because the Holy Comforter is in us, he makes us feel warm. And there is no comfort like the comfort of the fire of God burning in our lives. But if the hearth is empty, there's no wonder that we feel cold. All of us, as we said last week, need the presence and the power of God. We need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we were going to let him dwell in us, then he would reveal these things to us. The Spirit of truth, he would come and comfort us, and he would put us into the way of all holiness. And so Jesus says that John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. And I just want to finish up, if I can, with three, I get nearly night tonight. Just want to finish up with three things and then try and appropriate them to your own lives. I want to suggest three things based on the life of John the Baptist, based on what God's word says of him. And if you've got me, I'll put the readings up anyway. First of all, I want to talk about this, John's spiritual calling. It says in John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the people in John's day saw him coming. The people in John's day heard his voice, they felt the power of his ministry, and they said, here is a man sent from God. And so they recognized that this fire that was burning in him was the fire of the Holy Spirit, and that was the recognition. Here is a man sent from God. I wonder if people can say that about us. I don't want to mention names, but there's a Baptist minister I know that was working in a hard, hard area of Glasgow. And the locals said of this minister, he brought God to this area. A man just by his life portrayed Christ. Do people say that? There is Jim, a man sent from God. Can they say that about us because they recognize this burning and a shining light in our lives? The second thing I want to leave with you this evening is this. It is John's spiritual character. In John chapter 3, verse 27 to 30, and I'll just cut it slightly short so I can get it all in there. John said, no one can receive anything except what is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now full. He must increase and I must decrease. Isn't that a wonderful description? that John the Baptist is known as the friend of the bridegroom. Can I say to all of you here who know him as Lord and Saviour, you are more than the friend of the bridegroom. You're the bride. And John knew his place. But who could hope for a more privileged position? The friend of the bridegroom, the bride itself. And this man speaks about his great rejoicing, his perfect joy was to hear the bridegroom's voice. So when we're listening for him, do we get all excited and our hearts beat when we hear the voice of Jesus say? And I want to suggest to you that no person can be a burning and a shining light without possessing this spiritual character. And you and I must bear an increasing likeness to the Lord so that our own character is decreasing and Christ's character in us is increasing. And here is John the Baptist. He finds its joy in listening to his master's voice. In our reading in John chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, it says this: "There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which gives about me is true. You have sent to John, and he testifies to the truth." John the Baptist told him that he was preparing the way for the Messiah, and then pointed to Jesus as the Messiah. He'd been saying, "The Lamb of God is coming, the Lamb of God is coming." And on the day the Lamb of God came, he said, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God." And you know the story. John's own disciples stopped following him and followed Jesus. And John the Baptist, as you and I, our role in life is to point others to Christ. And God did not leave without witnesses. There's been witnesses ever since. You are his witness. He's left you here until he returns to witness for him in the hope that somebody might come to know him as Lord and as Saviour. And John the Baptist's main function was to bear witness to the way of God and the Son of God. And a good witness tells the truth as best he can. And John's witness to Jesus is to have an abiding character and value, and hopefully it would stay in all these people's hearts who heard him. And sadly, Jesus was having a go at the leaders here because they wouldn't listen, as many today do, despite talking. We've said before, even in Isaiah's day, who believes us? Who believes our report? Nevertheless, God expects you to witness for him. Verse 34 in the reading says this: "But the testimony which I receive is not from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved." Wouldn't it be great if everybody we spoke to about Jesus gets saved? Everybody that he brings along our path, he brings it before us for a reason and for a purpose. And the witness of John pointed to the truth of who Jesus is. John's work and witness was to point a lost people in darkness to the light of Christ so that they might indeed be saved. And lastly, because I know time's no way, but I'm away. John's spiritual conversation. I love this. So you've got time, go home and read this verse. It's John chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, and see if to me it just sums John up. Now, I know in John's life he questioned. I'm not going to go through that this evening, but he questioned. Nevertheless, John 10 and 41 and 42 says this: "Many people came to Jesus and they said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus." Isn't that good? That's a brilliant couple of verses. John spoke to these people in such a way that when Jesus revealed himself to them, they recognized him by what John had said, and so they believed on him because of what John said. There was the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the witness of John, and we call that a spiritual conversation. And wouldn't it be nice to know that those we speak to, that the one thing they would remember concerning us is that we spoke two things. Not just speaking the truth, but we spoke two things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so powerfully true that through these spiritual conversations, they themselves come to know and believe in him. Jesus said before he went to be with his Father, "You shall be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. Ought we not to ask the same holy fire to burn in us, that God might use us for his name's sake? God's word tells me, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, and knock and the door will be opened up to you." May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts for his name's sake, and may we ponder on these things that the Lord has left before us this evening.
I'm just going to say, you know, everybody's a question, you know, they say that they do.